You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Colossians contains so much of the answers to life, the key to living life. The first chapter deals with this. It deals with who is Jesus. And see if you can remember the things that we've talked about. But we looked at He is the invisible God. He's the creator of all of this. And He's the one who holds it all together. People think the world's going to fall apart. Not until He decides. Because He holds it all together. And in Him is the fullness of God. The fullness of God dwells. We also talked about this, the great mystery. If you'll remember preaching a detective message, but that great mystery that's unveiled in Colossians, and it's this, it's Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. Now, the second chapter deals with this, what Jesus has done. And that's what we've been talking about, the fact that He redeemed us on the cross of Calvary, that He took my sins and He paid the price for sin. He bought me back with His blood. So He redeemed me from sinful condition when He was nailed to the cross as well. And remember this, we're going to talk about this in just a few weeks on Easter because there's a few passages of Scripture that we said we're going to come back to, and they're really an Easter passage. But remember these words. While the Roman soldier was nailing Jesus' hands into the cross, God the Father was nailing some things to the cross. It's what Scripture says, that God nailed these things to the cross. Well, what was He nailing to the cross? He was nailing to the cross all the old legalism or legalistic. We still keep the moral code, but when it comes to food and it comes to the government, the things that the way the Jewish people lived and all of their rules, all of those things were a shadow of Jesus, a shadow of His life, death, burial, and resurrection. And so we've learned, we're talking about living free from man's rules. When we talk about legalism, we're not saying that there's no rules. Everybody knows that there are parameters, there are laws in the Word of God. Amen. But what happens is man starts adding to, and he starts creating, and the Jewish people were great at adding to and keeping, trying to keep all of these legalistic laws. And what Jesus did is He came to set us free, to show us the freedom from legalism and bring us into a love relationship of grace. And so for the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been talking about the grace of God in a way that I've never preached it, that has been one of the most enlightening and powerful experiences. And if you've not been here, I encourage you to go online and to listen to those messages concerning legalism and grace. Well, that brings us to today, because we're starting chapter 3, verse number 1. We're going to deal with these first 4 verses. You know, when you walk through the Bible in this expository way, we take a book. Here's what's amazing. It's amazing at how on a particular Sunday you're walking through the Bible and you think, well, you're just preaching verse by verse, and how can that be spirit sensitive to what's happening? I'm amazed at how every time I open this book and every verse that we go through, how relevant it is for 21st century, for our lives right here at the Island Church today. That's this message. And so it's a turning point. The first 2 chapters deal with what we believe Now it changes to how we behave. The last two chapters address the important question based on who Jesus is and what he has done for me. Now we're talking about how should I live this out? Let me just illustrate that for you as we have time and time again. When we talk about doctrine, when we read the Word of God, we talk about theology. Don't let that throw you as boring, deep, something not relevant. Theology is simply the study of God. Doctrine is simply having our belief system. This is what we believe. And our belief system is based, what we believe here at the Island Church is 100% based on the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? So, you have to have a belief system. There has to be foundation and doctrine. And I'll use the illustration I've used time and time again. The Mississippi River without banks is a swamp. But when you put banks on the Mississippi River, it's a mighty flowing river. If you take doctrine out of the church, if you take what we believe out of the church and we base this on emotion and feeling, here's what happens is we become a swamp. There's no depth to us. So we have to have doctrine. But then, it's not just this is what I believe. What we believe should impact how we live. And I wouldn't give a plugged nickel for someone who knows everything in the world about the Bible but can't live a righteous, holy life. Hello. And there, folks, America is filled with religious people who have it here, but they no more obey God. They no more have any self-control, fruit of the Spirit operating, than a man in the moon. They just live however they want. God didn't call me to live how I want. He called me to live like him. Amen. To be a reflection of him. To bring honor and glory to him. So, today we're going to start this with how to live. Everybody say live. How to live. We're going to take the word live and through the stretch of words and a little bit of imagination to help us remember, we're going to take live, do an acrostic if you will, and take each letter of the word live, but to show us how to live. Maybe this can really stick with us. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I'm just taking it for granted. Everyone is awake, alive, and excited to be at church. That's awesome. Here it is. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Man, isn't that an awesome passage? Seek those things. You're risen with Christ. Set your mind on things above. We've heard this passage many, many times. I want us to see these four verses and what the Apostle Paul was trying to say to this young church who was being bombarded with some real heresies, the Gnostics, super spiritual people who were trying to undermine the resurrection and the reality and what it meant to really live free and live in grace. They lived in bondage. They thought they were something else because, here's why, they were controlling people. Let me tell you something. I'd never go to a church that tries to control you. It's cultish. Churches don't control people, but God wants to control our life. Amen? Hello? It's God who wants to control. He wants to be the Lord in charge of everything. Forest Lawn Cemetery, Glendale, California, has been called the Disneyland for the dead. A lot of early Hollywood stars were buried there. Tourists take trips. When the kids were younger, when we went to L.A. and went to Hollywood one time, we took the Hollywood tour of seeing all the old homes and Tarzan's old home, the moat around, and there was some cool stuff. But I didn't visit that cemetery. Now, living in San Francisco, there's a place just outside of the city where Wyatt Earp, it's the only time I went to see a tombstone. Get it? Okay. I know it's early. But anyway, I went to see Wyatt Earp's grave. But people go here in L.A. to see where all these stars are born. Listen to this. One wealthy Hollywood producer was buried in his Cadillac. Now, that would have been when Cadillacs were really big. So it was a big hole. He had to have more than one plot, obviously. But he was buried in his Cadillac with a cigar glued to his mouth. As the car was lowered into the grave, one of the people attending the service said, "Man, that's really living." You know what I say it is? That's dying. You're dead. It doesn't matter Cadillac or how much money or how cool you think it might be. You are dead. Listen, you can make a good living in life, but you might not really be living. I've known a lot of people, numbers of people that have a lot of money. And not everyone who has a lot of money really knows how to live. See, the Bible says in John 3 and verse 36, whoever believes in the Son of God has eternal life. But listen to this. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life. See, living is knowing Jesus. That's the only way to live. So my question this morning, are you living? I'm not asking, are you breathing? Are you living? Or do you simply exist? Do you just get up, live life, go to sleep? But there's no life. See, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have life to the full. To the full. So are you living this morning? Well, let me share some ways to live. Number one is this. Live, L, look at life from a God view. If you have been raised with Christ, chapter 3, verse 1, if you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Look at Ephesians. We walked through the book of Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6. It says, and raised up with him and seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians, if you've been raised with Christ, seek things are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He's trying to get across the theme to these young churches. Let me ask you this question. Where is Jesus right now? Rhetorical, you don't have to answer out loud. But where is Jesus at this moment? Watch this. Spiritually speaking, he's right here. He's promised where two or three, Matthew 18, 18 and verse 20, where two or three are gathered, there I am with them. So Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, is here right now. Literally speaking, Jesus has ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. And that, listen, when you hear Jesus is ascended and he's seated at the right hand of God, that speaks of victory and it speaks of authority. It speaks that he overcame the tomb. Somebody shout amen. Yeah. So, spiritually, he's right here. Literally, he's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God in all victory and authority. Now, let me ask you this question. Where are you right now? Where are you? Well, physically, you're seated right here listening to me. But spiritually speaking, everybody listening? Spiritually speaking, the Bible says we have been raised up and we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Oh, listen, you've got to connect in the spirit right now. We're a spirit, soul, and body. This is not just intellectual. It's not just something with some emotion and that we're physically here. How do we worship God? They that worship God worship him in spirit and in truth. In a physical sense, we're right here listening. But according to Scripture, we are raised with Christ and we are seated with him. Why is that important? What does this mean? This seems like so mystical. Hang on, watch this. It's so important. Here's why. When you recognize who you are in Christ and where you are in Christ, you start to look at things differently. You start to see heaven differently. See, what we're talking about, what the Apostle Paul's talking about, is not heaven someday. He's talking about right now. He's saying we're seated with Christ right now. How many understand? Heaven is a real place, and as his children, we are going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. Well, listen to me. You don't have to go to the cemetery to experience some of heaven. Because according to Scripture, we are seated with Christ. Folks, there are two worlds. One is this world in which we live, the five senses, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. But superimposed on this world is another world, a world of a different dimension. Don't let this be confusing. See, let me illustrate it this way. Right now, there are all kinds of sights and scenes that are going on in this room. Why, did you see that cowboy? Did you see that Western? Did you see that cowboy just fall off his horse? Did you see that weather report that's happening? Did you see that soccer game? Did you see that baseball and how they're getting ready down in South Florida and Central Florida? Do you see it? Do you see them practicing right there? See, all of those. Oh, did you hear that? The music. I had the 8-track. Did you see it? Did you hear it? No. But it's all over this room. You know why? Because there's radio waves and there's television waves that are all over this place. And it's all over. It's happening right now. We're not seeing and hearing it because we are not tuned in to a station right now. Oh, is this beginning to make sense? We're not tuned in to a station. Now, let me tell you something. If you would have told Abraham Lincoln about this invisible world of television and radio waves, he would have thought that we are nuts because it wasn't invented in his time. In the same way, there are a lot of people that think we are crazy to believe in a God that we have never literally seen, but there is a spiritual world. Hello? And we have been raised to sit with Christ, to be with Christ, not just heaven someday, but to be with Him. But to be with Him today. And let me tell you why that's important. Why to have this understanding that I'm seated with Christ, that I'm with Christ. It's this. I see things from a different perspective. I know we're still in this world, flesh and blood. But we see things because we are in Christ from a different perspective, above where Jesus is seated with the Father. Have you ever noticed this? That the higher you get, the smaller things look on earth. It's a silly story, but I heard about a guy who was flying for the very first time. And he finally got up enough nerve to look out the window. And he said to the guy that was sitting beside him, he said, "It's true. It's true. People look like ants from up here." And his seatmate said, "Oh, those are ants. We just haven't taken off yet." I told you it was corny. Listen, things look different when you're up high. This world, this earth, there are scooped out canyons and there's rocks piled high up on rocks, which is called mountains. Liz and I have seen the Grand Canyon, Mount Everest, Luke and I recently, Mount McKinley, those mountains and those valleys. Let me take it a step further. If you watch the space program, astronauts, you see pictures of Earth back from space. You don't see those mountains and those valleys. In fact, the whole face of the Earth looks smooth because you're thousands of miles away. Listen to me. Life is the same way. Up close. Here's why it's important that we recognize that we're in this earth, but we are in Christ. And Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Christ is above, and that we are seated above. Then if you have been raised with Christ, seek things above where Christ, and raised up with Him, seated with Him in heavenly places. That's what the Scripture says. What happens is we see things from a different perspective. See, when I'm in the midst of it, and I've gone through some things that have been disheartening, I mean, that have hit me hard in life, and I see no way out, and all I see is mountains or waves, or I feel like I'm deep in a valley. But whenever I begin to see things from God's perspective, when I eventually get up on top of it, things look radically different. How many of you have found that in retrospect, that when you were going through it, you thought, "I'm going to die." But once you get beyond and you get up and you see it, you look back and you think, "You know what? I should have just done this and done this." I mean, it wasn't what I thought it was. Anybody understand that? So I'm telling you, I understand when we're in the midst of the struggle. But if we can recognize that we are seated with Christ, we see things totally, totally different. When you're in an airplane, Luke and I, before we left California, my secretary was Her husband was in charge of the Golden Gate Bridge, and he was getting ready to change jobs. He worked on managed skyscrapers, and there was a lot of politics in taking care of the bridge and getting guys to work, and so he was fed up with it. And so his last week there, he told his wife, who's my secretary, he said, "Hey, if Pastor Fred wants to go on top of the Golden Gate Bridge, just tell him, you know, call me." And we called and set up a time. Luke went with me. We walked the bridge. He showed me the cameras and where so many people try to commit suicide. We walked inside one of the tall pillars that goes up that helps hold the span. And we took an elevator the elevator was the size of that pulpit. The three of us had to turn and twist. We got up so high, and then we had to climb like three stories through a hole about this big around on a ladder. And then you open up, and boom, we're standing on top of the Golden Gate Bridge. Talk about fascinating. You don't realize how high that thing is. And how far. It was a clear day, seldom in San Francisco, but how far. You see things from a radically different perspective. You know, I have people from time to time, I'll ask them, I say, "Hey, how are you doing?" And here's a common answer. "Well, I'm doing okay under the circumstances." See, if you are in Jesus, you should never be under the circumstances. It doesn't mean life's not hard and life's not difficult, but you don't have to live under circumstances. Circumstances are like the mattress that's on your bed. If I ask you how you slept last night, and you said, "Well, I slept pretty good under the mattress." You don't sleep under the mattress. I'd say, "What are you doing sleeping under the mattress?" You'll suffocate if you sleep under the mattress. You're supposed to sleep on the mattress. Listen, if we're in Jesus, we're more than conquerors. And if we're in Christ, yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's hard. God doesn't respond to my complaining. He's near the brokenhearted, but he doesn't respond to my complaining. He doesn't respond to my moaning and groaning. He responds to my faith. Jesus, I want to crawl up on top. I want to see things the way you see them. You're seated at the right hand of God, and you have all authority and victory. And God, help me to be in you the way Scripture says I'm to be. Amen. That's what God's called us to. Seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. There's so much. I'll come back to that. I'll come back to that next week. Let me land this plane with this. Infuse. Look at life from a God view. Here it is. Infuse your mind with heavenly values. Here's what Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on this earth. It's like setting our clocks. Now we have our cell phones, and they automatically change. When we just drove over to Orlando, we get just past Tallahassee, and it automatically changes to Eastern Standard Time when you come back. And so that's a real convenience in life. We understand in setting our clocks, if you want to set the correct time, you have to set it using the correct standard. And there's a standard for all time zones around the world. It's called GMT, Greenwich Mean Time. GMT, Royal Observatory in Greenwich, England. If you want your clock to be correct, you set it, match that time, and take into account which time zone you're in. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says this. Verse number 2, set. set. Just like if you want to set your clock, we just set our clocks ahead. I went last night in, did the microwave, did the oven, knew my cell phone would automatically change. So we set. Listen to what Scripture says. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Set our hearts and our minds on things above. Now watch this. We have a perfect standard in Jesus. Oh, that would have been a great place to have said a big amen. See, he's the standard. You want to set your clocks right, you set it to the GMT. You want to set your life right, you set your standard. You set on the standard of Jesus Christ. You set your mind on things above. Have you ever used this expression? Man, their mind is just in the gutter. What are we saying? We're saying that they are thinking on wicked, evil, lustful things. What does Scripture say? That we're to set our minds on things above. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen, earthly, is temporary, but what is unseen is heavenly, it's eternal. It was D.L. Moody who said this. He said, you know, so many people are so heavenly minded, they're so earthly good, they're no earthly good. But actually, I've never met anyone that way. I've met some super spiritual people that are a little bit weird, but I've never met anyone just like that. Here's what I find, that people are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. And what Scripture's telling us is that we need to set our minds on things above. I want you to come next week. I'll pick this up. You can tell. You can tell if you've set your mind on the right things. Let me just give you these three things. Jot them down to be thinking about them, and I'll fill in the details. But you can tell where you are at in that you have set things right by what you think about. See, I don't think there's really, in a sense, really atheists. Everybody believes in something. It's what you think about all the time. It's what you talk about all the time. And it's where your treasure is. You show me where you spend your money. Let me hear your conversation. And if I had a window into your thought life, I could tell you what your God is. You might say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, you might say you're a Christian. But the things you think about, the things you talk about, and where you spend your money tells exactly if you've set your minds on things above. Folks, this message is all about getting our eyes on Jesus. Jesus, Jesus is the answer. And to set your eyes and realize who you are in Christ and to get in his word so you can get up to get and see from his perspective, setting your mind on things above. Thinking right, talking right, and then you'll live right. Amen? Amen. I love God's word, don't you?